right, we're back. Buddy Biancolana, co-founder of PMPM Sports Zone Training, and a member of the 1985 World Series winning Kansas City Royals, will join us at 11:15. We'll get the Kansas City take on Game 7 of the World Series last night. And Mark Gonzalez, a Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, he will join us at 11:40. The Cubs are now on the clock. We're all anxiously awaiting a news conference to formally announce what the game seems to have known for the past 72 hours or so, and that is that Joe Maddon, who has managed the Tampa Bay Rays, will now be managing the Chicago Cubs. And no doubt pulling in about $4.5 to $5 million a year. Not bad work if you can get it. The Montreal Canadiens will wrap up their Western Canada swing tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. You can see that game on Sportsnet 360 at 10 o'clock, part of our NHL and Sportsnet package. Nobody's saying that the Montreal Canadiens are going to win 80 games anymore this year. I think it's safe to say. Reno Lavoie is our NHL insider with TVA Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Ren Lavoie TVA. And he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Lavoie.
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing well. So this Western, what do you think the Canadians have learned about themselves on this Western Canadian road swing?
You know what? They've learned again that it's an unbelievable thing, and they are super lucky to have a player's name, Carey Price. Because to be honest with you, if Carey's not there since the last 2 weeks, I'm telling you there'll be a lot of issues with the Canadians that we're, you know, the thing is when you win, you put a plaster on the issues that you have. But there are some, obviously. There's no doubt it's a team who's not really playing well. I'm not going to say they are lucky to win games. That's not what I'm saying. But you look around the league right now, and I'm in Ottawa right now for the game versus the Blackhawks tonight, and it's the same language. You talk to Brian Murray, the GM here, and he's saying, you know what? We're lucky to have a goaltender who's making the saves because things are not going the way we want. And it's exactly the same thing in Montreal. You look at Carey Price, and he's playing so well. He's making those huge saves at the right time. It was exactly the case versus the New York Rangers on Saturday. Everybody thought that, you know, it was it was a great game for Montreal all around because I think they allowed only one point chances in the second period to the Rangers. So obviously the Canes forward and defenseman did something good at that time. But it's not because you're playing well for 20, 25, 30 minutes that you're going to win every night. Mm. And Carey Price is making a huge difference. It was not the case to start the season, but in the last 10 days to 2 weeks, it is Carey Price, the first star of this franchise right now.
What's going on with the power play right now? It's 0-for-21 on the road, I should say. And we know that Montreal, in 8 of these 10 games, they've given up the first goal. But what's going on with the power play right now?
Well, look at the way the teams are playing versus PK Subban. And they are all over him. They cheat, actually, to make sure he won't have his huge shot that he have. Mm-hmm. So that's putting more pressure on a guy like Markov to do the right play. They're because of that, I feel that they're not in sync. It feels like everybody wants to do a little too much on the ice. You watch their power play and you're like, is it really a power play? They have maybe one scoring chances per power play. It's tough for them to keep the puck in the offensive zone. I mean, things are not going well, but they're sticking with the same players, and that's a little strange for me. I would like to see a guy like René Bourque maybe playing more on a power play. He had a really good game versus the Flames. two nights ago, but he played only, what, 8 minutes in the game. So it's strange. It's you need to play, I think, the players who are having success offensively, and I think a guy like Rene could help. I understand that they are trying to find a solution, but by keeping the same players all the time on the ice, same lines, I feel something needs to change. Honestly, they need to, they really need to mix things up a little bit and see what they're going to get. But hey, that's me. I'm not the coach. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one who's making those decisions. But 0-4-21 on the road is not something great. I'm looking around the league. You have teams that have, they just have unbelievable power plays. And you look at those lineups, there's not much difference than Montreal. But for any reason, it's working. So Montreal needs to find a way. It's early in the season. Nobody's going to panic. The team is still winning. But you need power plays to win games. There's no doubt about that.
Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. One of the real surprises so far in the season is the Nashville Predators. We talked to Scott Morrison about this earlier in the show.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people, Ren, looked at Peter Laviolette taking over that team.
For sure.
Different guy than Barry Trotz, certainly, yet it appears to be working. And I think a lot of people looked at that marriage and thought, "Oof, that's a difficult pairing."
For sure. And you know what? Again, it's going to, you know, Peter Laviolette, that's the story of his career. He's a coach who can turn things around really quickly in an organization. That's why I put the Predators in the playoffs this year. Do I expect that it will be that great? No. But at the same time, you know, things are clicking. He's putting a different mindset. They're not as defensive like as they used to be. They're not scared to play with the puck and to play deep in the other zone. But honestly, again, you need to look at Pekarinen. I remember a year ago, Pekarinen had to go through a surgery, and it went pretty bad. Came back during the season. It was a hip surgery. Came back, and I think his goal against average was around 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that the organization, they were a little scared because they thought, they were saying to themselves, is he going to come back as good as he was before? So it was a really tough summer for Pekarinen, because he had to work really hard in the summer, find a way to make sure his hip's going to work again the way it was working before the surgery, and to make sure that he's going to be on top when the season starts. And look at his statistics right now. It's just amazing. He's got 6 wins in 8 games, okay? His average is 1.71 with a save percentage of .936. This is the reason why this team is winning, because, yes, it's true, you have your Mike Ribeiro having 7 points in 9 games, Fosberg 7 points but only 1 goal in 9 games. James Neal, what a great acquisition, but he's got 5 goals in 9 games and 3 in 1. So, Jeff, it's true, they are successful. There's a change behind the bench that was, I think, needed. But at the same time, Pekarinen is making a huge difference. And he's already, I think, if we had to vote for MVP candidate right now, you have to look at a guy like him. It's really early, I know, but for me, he's my MVP this season in the NHL. He's changing things around again. And those goaltenders, you know what? It's unbelievable that in 2014, that the best paid players on the ice are not the goaltenders, because they are the one making the difference night after night after night after night. But you know what? They're in the middle of the pack when you look at stars, the way they are paid. For me, a guy like Rene should be paid easily $10 million per season. Same thing with Carey Price. Mm-hmm. Easily. And nobody will be, like, upset. Those guys are your quarterbacks. Those guys aren't going to make you win. So if they're not good enough, there's issues. But if those players are making a difference between win and loss night after night, wow, how come they're only being paid $5, $6, $7 million per season. It makes no sense at all.
Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. You're in Ottawa. The Senators are playing the Blackhawks tonight. Kind of a stuttering start for the Blackhawks. A lot of people waiting to see how Brad Richards fits in here. In some ways, you know, I watched a couple of games, and you get the sense that Brad Richards is, I don't know, Ren, if he can play up to the speed of the Blackhawks. I really don't.
It's a great question. Brad obviously has got right now 3 assists in 9 games, plus his minus is even at zero. Is he the player that's going to score another 30 goals? I don't think so. He decided to sign with the Blackhawks because he wanted to win another Stanley Cup. He wanted to make sure that his name's going to be, when people's going to talk about him, they're going to talk about him in a good way, instead of asking question why he was not playing during the playoffs last year, who was put on a fourth line by Alain Vigneault in the final. There's a lot of question marks about his game, but he's so smart. Mm-hmm. That guy is so smart on the ice. It's early. It's a new system for him. Yes, it's true. Those players are fast, but it's not because you're not as fast as them that you're going to struggle. I think it's an advantage in a way to play with players who are skilled and fast. But something's going to happen at one point. In the next 10 games, you need to score goals. And if not, well, maybe the management here is going to ask questions why things are not working the way it's supposed to. They have 5 wins, 4 losses, 1 in overtime, and 1 in overtime or shootout, whatever. So they have 11 points. It's good, but the Senators, they have 11 points too, and they have one less loss. So it's still early, but those teams like the Blackhawks, I really think they're not panicking. They're not asking a lot of questions about why Brad is not producing as much as as much as he wants. But I'm going to talk to him after morning skate. And, I think the answer is it's a new system. It's a new franchise. I'm not used to play here. He played in Dallas, so he knows a little bit of the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different animal playing for the Blackhawks, playing for Joel Quenneville. So let's talk about him in the next 10 games. Maybe we'll have a better idea of where things are going.
Ren, we're getting to the point where clubs have to make a decision on some of their top junior-aged prospects. We're getting there. Aaron Ekblad, Jonathan Drouin, Leon Draisaitl. What do you think is going to happen to some of the big name junior players? If I'm Edmonton, I almost have to keep Draisaitl, don't I?
You have no choice at all, because you know what? And good for them. They're putting him in the good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not playing on the fourth line. He's taking advantage of what the situation is for him. And just the fact that they decided that after 10 games, he's still going to be with the team. Honestly, Jeff, if he's struggling a lot in the next month or two, maybe things are going to change. But I don't think they're going to make a move where he's going to be sent down. It's not going to be good mentally. And it's like Michel Therrien told me during the weekend. We're talking about Alex Galchenyuk, and he said, Renault, Alex Galchenyuk, yes, he could have come back to junior, but at the same time, I would have lost 1 year with him. Because if he's going back in junior, was he fully ready for the NHL? No. But his second year, I knew in my mind that I was not going to teach him a lot more. Like, the teaching period was just done with him.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was him working on the ice and making sure that he'll be one of the best goal scorer, or maybe forward for the Montreal Canadiens. And it's exactly the same thing. I really do think in Edmonton, look at what's going on with the Rangers, with Anthony Duclair. There was some questioning about Anthony. Are they going to send him down? But there's no reason to do so. It's better for Alain Vigneault to spend a year with him, let him play 60 games, And next year, imagine what Anthony Duclair is going to do for that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be maybe one of their best forward. And Anthony is such a great person. He worked hard during the summer. You should see his upper body. It's unbelievable the work that he put in the gym to make sure that he'll be able to play with man. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. So I really think the Rangers are going to keep him, because if you're sending the kid down, you're going to lose, I really think, you're going to lose a season. You don't want to do that. If the player is borderline and he's not physically ready, just send the kid down. But when those kids are able to skate, like Jonathan Drouin, the way he's skating with the Lightning, the way he's playing on the ice is just amazing. He looks like a veteran already. So, but there's still a lot of teaching to be done. Do it in the NHL.
Yeah, the one thing about Drouin too is that I like about him is the fact that he's taking advantage of his speed, not just in the offensive end, but he's taking advantage of it in the defensive end as well. And he's pretty responsible for a 19-year-old kid.
And the way the Lightning worked with him last year was amazing, because you know what? Every weekend there was a scout from the Lightning at his game, watching him, making sure that things are going to progress the right way. He had a slow start when he came back with his junior team last year. But you know what? They work with him. They were there every week to make sure that, you know, he'll get the support that he was supposed to get. You know, I think the Lightning did the best thing for him, sending him down last year. This year, he's more mature physically, mentally. He's ready for the challenge. And I'm just amazed to see those kids right now, Jeff, playing like that in Edmonton. They have a young, skilled guy who's playing on second line. You see what they're doing with Drouin. I'm not convinced that playing on the fourth line is the way to go. But obviously, I'm pretty sure things are going to change and evolve during the season. And what Anthony Duclair is doing right now is there'll be a good and a strong battle for the Calder Trophy. And it's not going to be an easy win, I'm telling you.
Ren, it was good of you to do this today. I'm going to let you go do some work after the morning skate. Thank you very much, my friend.
Have a nice one, Jeff.
You too. That is Ren Olivois, our NHL insider from TVA Sports. And Ren is in Ottawa. The Senators and the Blackhawks play tonight. Be hockey for you in Sportsnet 360 at 7 o'clock. The LA Kings against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I like what Scott Morrison said earlier in the show. I asked him about the Kings and the Penguins, and is this game kind of a measuring stick for these two teams? And his point was, well, probably for Pittsburgh, but for LA, when you play in the West and on a nightly basis, you're facing Anaheim, you're facing St. Louis, you're facing the Chicago Blackhawks. You've got your own measuring sticks. Close at hand, you really don't need to go out east to see it. Certainly for Pittsburgh, though, I would think this game will be something of a touchstone for them. Maybe an early season indication of where they stand. And at 10 p.m. and 360, NHL and Sportsnet continues. The Montreal Canadiens wrapping up their Western swing against the Vancouver Canucks. And as you heard Ren Lavoie, the Canadiens learning a little bit about themselves, perhaps. 8-2. And maybe learning a little bit about, or maybe having the reality of their situation reinforced a little bit. And they've had a lot of issues in the power play. And as you heard Ren Lavoie say, it may be time. It may be time for Michel Therrien, the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, to start looking at mixing things up a bit and changing things up a bit. We're going to be joined, by the way, at 11:40 by Mark Gonzalez. He is the beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. He covers the Chicago Cubs. Now that the World Series is over, now that the San Francisco Giants have won their third World Series in 5 years, the off-season business of baseball begins, the tendering of contracts to players, the decisions on whether or not to pick up options from players, and in Chicago, the decision or the announcement, the expected announcement of Joe Maddon as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. So Mark Gonzalez will join us at 11:40 and we'll deal with that situation. But before we get to Mark Gonzalez, want to return our focus to the World Series. The San Francisco Giants winning the World Series last night, obviously. Madison Bumgarner getting the World Series MVP award in what may have been one of the easiest decisions when it comes to that particular award. Buddy Biancolana is co-founder of PMPM Sports Zone Training. He is a former shortstop with the 1985 Kansas City Royals. We talked to him at the start of the postseason. Perfect time to talk to him as well right now. Buddy, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeff.
I'd like to ask you, I'm watching Madison Bumgarner pitch, and he looks to me like, as Matt Cain said, I'm not even certain he has a pulse. Now, what would your, if you could sit down with Madison Bumgarner and really try to get inside this guy's head and really try to figure out what he's about, what would you be most interested in your capacity with PMPM Sports? Because I got to think this guy is a different animal.
Well, he is. And if you watch him closely, there's no fatigue in him. And he's not sweating at all, although, you know, people say it was a cool night. But wasn't breathing heavily at all. And it's because of the way the information that he's processing is moving through the brain. When the brain is working as it's designed to work while you're performing a dynamic motion, like throwing a baseball, pitching a baseball, there will be fluidity of the muscles. There will be reduced fatigue. And you can throw a lot of pitches. And he has been a workhorse over the course of his career because he has figured out how to access those processes in the brain. And, you know, it was no surprise to me that he was able to come back on 2 days rest and throw five innings of relief work last night. And not only that, be very, very effective.
Why do we being those of us who cover baseball, why are we so intrigued these days, and I guess people who follow baseball as well, by guys who can do what Bumgarner did, you know, pitch on, come out and give you five innings of relief on short rest, and, you know, after a season in which he's thrown, I don't know, I think he's up to over 260 innings now. Like, it seems to me that those guys intrigue us even more in some ways than, you know, the real superstars, than kind of the transcendent position players. Why is that, buddy?
Well, I just think it's not understanding. I mean, it's not that Madison Bumgarner is different than anybody else in his capabilities and the way his brain is capable of functioning. He just understands that there's something else going on that's more important than his delivering the pitch to the plate and getting the hitter out. Mm-hmm. We call it, in our business, we call it the DNA goal. The DNA goal of the sport is the embedded goal of the sport. It's the obvious goal of the sport. And the obvious goal for a baseball pitcher is to get the hitter out, to throw a strike and get the hitter out. And I'm not saying that's not present, but there's a process in the brain that he has obviously identified that is more important to him. The great Roger Federer said, the game is within. You know, he's a guy that lives in the zone. Mm-hmm. And he had a quote in Tennis Magazine. He said, the game is within. And he said, he went on to say that anytime you think the game is between you and your opponent, you're beat. Now, that's a very extreme comment. But what he was saying is, in order to best beat your opponent, you've got to access this game within your own being. And it's what Madison Bumgarner does so well, naturally. Mm-hmm. And it's what allows him to throw so many pitches and be the workhorse and go out there last night and be, you know, so effective.
Buddy, what do you think the Kansas City Royals take away from this World Series, from this magical run? You know, it's a team, they've got some decisions to make with Billy Butler and James Shields, but boy, it looks to me, buddy, like there's a core here that you ought to be able to build on. And I mean, sustainability is not always an easy thing in professional sports, as I'm sure you well know, but it looks like this team might be able to sustain a little bit more of a run, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, they've got some talent there. They're probably not going to be able to keep James Shields or Billy Butler. You know, that's going to free up a lot of money to go out, and my guess is they'll go out and try and get a big right-handed bat. Mm-hmm. And put around those lefties, Hosmer and Moustakas, who you know, they really need to get more out of Hosmer and Moustakas, you know, as well as Hosmer played and the potential he has. I mean, it's immense. I mean, he could be a real star, huge, huge star. And to date, he hasn't done it. He did have a good postseason, but as far as the regular season goes, he has not become the player that he's capable of becoming, nor has Moustakas. But there's a lot of talent there, and I think, you know, it gives the Royals more breathing room. People are going to believe in Dayton more in the organization, the ownership group. They went out and spent some money. I think their payroll's close to $100 million now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll exceed it next year. But I don't know quite how strong their minor league system is as far as, you know, as their starting pitcher in their minor leagues that could come up and fit into that rotation. But I know there's, you know, it's likely there's not a number one that's ready to come up. So,
right.
You know, they're going to have to find someone to fill the shoes of James Shields if he does leave, which is, I think, all but certain. But, you know, it's great for me being an ex-Royal player. It's great to see the city behind the Royals, the media behind them, you know, and just the fans. It's really, really great to watch that.
Yeah, you really get the sense that the Royals have reclaimed that part of the sports landscape in Kansas City that they once had. And that, you know what, and that's not, I was talking to someone the other day about this, a sports marketer, and you know, he made the point that we know some of the issues that baseball is fighting against right now, you know, the issues of demographics, the length of game, all that stuff. But this person I was talking to was making the point that especially in a market that has had success, and we're talking about Toronto specifically, a market that's had success and then hasn't had success for a long period of time. He said he thought in some ways it's harder to regain a foothold in a market like that now just because of the way the sports landscape is splintered and everything. And he made the point, the only way to do it, Jeff, is to either win the World Series or at least go to the World Series. Other than that, you bring a star player in, whatever. That doesn't work as much as just having success. And I think it's an accurate observation.
Well, it's an interesting observation, and I'd have to study it more to know how accurate it is, but I trust your opinion. You're obviously very well prepared. I've always appreciated speaking to you. So, but, you know, I think what happens, you know, a club like Kansas City has success, and then they're down for so long that people, you know, you kind of lose interest and you lose faith in management. You know, you basically, over the years, you may have to build a whole new fan base. And I shouldn't say whole new fan base, but a large part of a new fan base, because a lot of people have gotten older, or they moved out of town, and you know, things come up, and they're just not as interested in watching a losing ball club.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're in a smaller market, the combination of all of that can make it tough. But you know, it seems like the Royals are they've been moving in the right direction for about 3 years now. Were they, you know, one of the best teams in baseball? Well, they played on the big stage, and you can't say they weren't. But you know, I think there were probably better lineups,
mm-hmm.
certainly Baltimore. But it doesn't come down to the best team. It comes down to the team that's able to execute under pressure. And the Royals did it really well. They just came up a bit short.
Buddy, it was great of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Always nice. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is Buddy Biancolana. He is co-founder of PMPM Sports Zone Training. He is, of course, the former shortstop with the 1985 Kansas City Royals and a much beloved member of those much beloved Royals teams. So the on-field business of baseball is done. Now the off-field stuff begins. Joel Sherman of the New York Post, 1 hour after the World Series. Guess what, everybody? Offseason begins. Alex Rodriguez is officially back on the roster of the New York Yankees. There's a lot of offseason business to take care of in this city. Decisions to be made about options and players like Brandon Morrow and Adam Lind. In Chicago, the Cubs are on the clock right now. The whole baseball world expects an announcement either today or tomorrow that Joe Maddon will take over as manager of the Chicago Cubs. Mark Gonzalez covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune, and he'll join us from Chicago. We'll get Mark's take on what will transpire between Joe Maddon and the Cubs. and what this means for the organization. This is an interesting time for the Cubs. They are absolutely loaded, top to bottom, with not just prospects, but gilt-edged prospects. Theo Epstein has essentially gone about collecting athletes who can play shortstop and essentially saying, you know what? We can only have one shortstop in the field, but if you're good enough to play shortstop and you can hit a bit, we'll find a place for you. It's a great time to be taking over a team like the Chicago Cubs. Mark Gonzalez is a Cubs beat writer. He'll join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are back just ahead. Hockey Central at noon. Followed, of course, by Tim and Sid and then Bob McCown with Primetime Sports. The baseballs are done for the season. We do have hockey on Sportsnet for you tonight, however. 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. The NHL and Sportsnet, the LA Kings. We'll take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in a 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. The Montreal Canadiens will play the Vancouver Canucks. Games on tap on Rogers NHL Game Center Live include the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres, the Winnipeg Jets and the New Jersey Devils, the Chicago Blackhawks against the Ottawa Senators, the Philadelphia Flyers and the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Arizona Coyotes, the Florida Panthers, the Mighty Ducks, or the Anaheim Ducks. I still call them the Mighty Ducks against the St. Louis Blues. The San Jose Sharks against the Minnesota Wild. The New York Islanders are in Denver to take on the Colorado Avalanche. We will have Thursday night football on Sportsnet Ontario. The 3-4 New Orleans Saints will be in Carolina to take on the 3-4-1 Panthers. That game starting at 8 p.m. We've got curling all day. 1:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, the Grand Slam of Curling. The Masters from Selkirk, Manitoba, the Round Robin competition. 5 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, another draw on the Grand Slam of Curling. And then 8:35 p.m. on Sportsnet, one another draw. Final draw of the evening in the Grand Slam of Curling from Selkirk, Manitoba. So the baseball world now shifts into off-season mode, and it doesn't take long. And my friend Jack Curry of the Yes Network already tweeting out that he's got the annual, he's announcing the starting of the annual Yankees hot stove sessions. Some 24 hours after the end of the World Series. You know, of course, that the Blue Jays have some major decisions to make as far as options are concerned. Brandon Morrow, Adam Lind, Jay Happ, among those. But I would guess that the off-season news, the first domino to fall when it comes to off-season news is expected to fall in Chicago at some point in the next couple of days. Joe Maddon, who opted out of his contract to manage the Tampa Bay Rays, has been widely reported to be involved in talks or to have finished off talks with the Chicago Cubs to take over that team. Their managerial position, of course, Andrew Friedman left the Tampa Bay Rays for the LA Dodgers during the World Series. So I guess you could say effectively that was the first domino to fall. But this is clearly the next domino. It's the one that a lot of people are waiting for. And I would have to think that one of those people is Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Mark Gonzalez joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So Gonzo, when do we expect this announcement?
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't until Friday.
Okay.
And I say that only because of how sensitive MLB is to announcements until after the World Series, and with the threat of tampering looming, I think everybody's careful. Everybody that's involved is careful about making this look as professional as possible.
I can understand why the Cubs would want Joe Maddon to manage them, but put yourself in Joe Maddon's position. Why would he want to manage the Cubs, and why would he want to manage them now?
I think he's probably ready for another challenge. He enjoyed his time in Tampa. You guys see him at least three times a year when he comes up to Toronto. Terrific guy. Loves that underdog role with the Rays. He's really relished that. And I think now it's time for probably one of the greatest challenges of his life right now, and that's trying to get the Cubs to a championship level. He's going to have more prospects coming out once than he did with the Rays, who always had that one marquee star coming up, whether it be Longoria, Price, Upton, Crawford. The Cubs seem to have them all coming within a 2-3 year span right now. They still need pitching, but I figure that Joe looks at this situation, thinks what an opportunity this is, and he's ready to seize the moment.
What happens to Rick Rennick and his staff?
That's an interesting question. I think what happens to Rick Renteria is...
I'm sorry, Renteria. Rick Rennick.
They probably pay off his final 2 years of his contract. Interesting situation with the coaches, because there's only one opening on the staff right now, and they love pitching coach Chris Bosio and the infrastructure they have there. So you combine that with the fact that the Rays have all their coaches signed for next year and want to keep them. I'm not sure how much more movement there's going to be with the coaches. So it's a very curious situation, and I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
That's an educated fan base, and it's also a fan base that hasn't had a lot of success. Is Joe Maddon viewed amongst Cub fans as, you know, the Messiah? Does he have enough of a reputation that Cubs fans will be viewing him as the guy who can take them forward? Because I think a lot of us thought, you know, there's only room for so many Messiahs. A lot of us thought Theo Epstein was going to be the Messiah as well.
They also thought Dusty Baker and Lou Piniella as well.
And, yes, thank you for that.
Dusty was five outs away from having a statue in front of Wrigley Field, and it didn't happen. And Lou won his first couple years, got to the playoffs, and then things eroded. In the case of Joe, I think the selling points are the Cubs are building a foundation that they believe they're going to have sustained success. You combine that with Maddon's arrival, Wrigley Field's being renovated over a four-year plan. This all comes together. And I think Cub fans, for the most part, think that Joe's coming at the right time. There's still some people that don't like the way this thing was handled.
Think it's going to be $5 million bucks a year?
Yeah, I would be surprised if it wasn't. And one thing to keep in mind is this thing with Joe and the Rays. Behind the scenes, I know somebody that's familiar with the negotiations. The last contract, Joe really felt cheated that he didn't get paid at least close to market value.
Mark, it's going to be an interesting off season for you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very, very busy, and it's just started.
The important thing, though, the most important thing, the pregame sessions are going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing we didn't get much of from Rick. But with Joe, he's dynamic, as you know, so there'll never be a dull moment, and I think the music in the clubhouse will improve as well.
Probably. You may see a few animals in there. Before I let you go, the Blue Jays have an opening for hitting coach right now. There's been some suggestion that Eric Hinsky might figure in that from people in Toronto. Would that surprise you at all, or what's your read in that situation?
No, they like Eric Hinsky here, but that's certainly a promotion for Eric, should he choose to pursue it. And hitting is his forte. He also fared well under Joe Maddon in 2008, hitting 20 homers and driving in 60 runs. It looks to me like a win-win situation. The only reason I could see Eric turning it down is because he lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, in the offseason. It's only a 20-minute drive from his place to the Cubs' spring training facility in Mesa.
Yeah, that's perfect, and especially for guys who traveled a lot playing baseball, there's nothing like being that close to home. So it's an interesting thing to keep in mind. Mark, thanks so much for doing this. As I said, enjoy the offseason and have fun with Joe Maddon.
I will. Take care, Jeff.
Take care. That is Mark Gonzalez. He covers the Cubs, does a terrific job for the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. So there you go. Possibly later today, more than likely tomorrow, expect an announcement that Joe Maddon will be the manager of the Chicago Cubs. And, well, see what the next domino to fall after that is. But I think it's safe to say that Joe Maddon can expect to get $5 million a year, probably in a 5-year contract, to manage that team. Pretty much similar to the money that Theo Epstein got to go to the Dodgers as the president of baseball operations. That's it for the Jeff Blair Show today. Time for Hockey Central at noon. Don't forget, a couple of hockey games on the Tube tonight. 360 has the Kings and the Penguins at 7. 10 o'clock, the Canadians and the Canucks. Loads and loads and loads of hockey in Rogers NHL Game Center Live, including the Blackhawks and Senators, the Coyotes and Panthers, the Ducks and the Blues, and the San Jose Sharks and the Minnesota Wild. So lots of games on NHL Game Center Live. That's it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.